Good evening. Thank you so much for coming to the Shir. It is now Wednesday night, February 10th. Rosh Chodesh Adar is in less than 24 hours. Rosh Chodesh this year is going to be Friday and Shabbos, so the month of Adar starts on Shabbos. And this also is Parshas Mishpatim. And there is a halacha, a mitzvah, that and many mitzvahs in Parshas Mishpatim, and one of them is related to tzedakah. So this evening, I hope to compare three mitzvos. That of tzedakah, now the classical mitzvah known as tzedakah. There is a more subtle mitzvah in this week's parsha, known as giving a loan, im kesef talveh, right? If you give a loan to somebody. So it's a little bit different than tzedakah. And then we're going to try to compare those mitzvahs to the Purim mitzvah known as matanos le'evyonim, right? When you give tzedakah to the poor on Purim. So at face value, these three mitzvahs seem to be very similar. And the bottom line is that you should give money to people who need money. And like, okay, the conversation starts and stops there. However, we're going to see that there are clear differences, not only in the lumdus, but also in practice. So hopefully by the end of this year, we'll have an appreciation for the mitzvahs of the Torah from the Parsha, and also a better appreciation for the spirit of the Yom HaKadosh known as Purim. Haba aleinu l'tova, Bezos Hashem. In a little bit over 2 weeks, we shall celebrate together Purim. You know, what a special day. So let's begin with the Parsha. Parshas Mishpatim says as follows. Whoa, that is not the right source. I opened up last week's shir. So last week, a little bit of chazara, right? This week, 1 week later, Lo Sachmot still applies, right? You should.
It's for Alvin.
What was it? Oh, ooh, a little bit of Musser. Very good, very good. That was not planned, Alvin, okay? That was not planned, okay? But I'm not so sad that it happened. Okay, so comparing the mitzvahs, good line, AB, good line. All right, comparing the mitzvahs of lending money, giving tzedakah, and matanos le'evyonim. Okay. Now, im kesef talveh ami, if, the word im is a funny word, right? It literally means if, generally speaking. If you lend money to my nation, esa ani imach, to the poor with you, lo tia lo kinosheh. Don't oppress the guy. Don't be like someone who takes the loan back. Don't be aggressive in terms of getting your money back, even though you loaned the money and you deserve the money back. But don't be overly pushy about him paying you back. And lo tisimun alav neshech. We're not going to go there tonight, but obviously the end of the pasuk is a third mitzvah that will not be discussed. We're going to speak about two mitzvahs hiding in this pasuk, but obviously the whole concept of ribis, of charging interest, is a whole other world of a sugya that we will not be dealing with this evening. But yes, the interest sugya is hiding in this pasuk of not charging interest. But im kesef talveh ami literally means if you will lend money. So says Rashi in the name of the Midrash, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, kol im v'im shebetorah rishus. Generally speaking, the word im is a optional term. It means if you want to do something, chutz mishlosh, but there are three exceptions. And this happens to be one of the three exceptions where the word im shall not be translated as if, namely the Torah is not saying if you lend, but rather when you lend, i.e. it is an obligation to give someone money as a loan. It's not optional. The word im is a little bit misleading, and an appropriate translation would not be if, but rather when. Okay, so on the books, according to Rashi, I have this concept of when you loan money. Now, Rashi points out that there's a hierarchy, es ami, you shall loan it to my nation. So famously, you know, a Jew should be given a loan before a non-Jew. Or if there's someone who's poor and someone who's rich, so the person who's poor comes first. If there's someone in your city as opposed to someone who needs a loan from another city, the one closest to home takes priority. Okay, but let's not, you know, go into all those details right now. And a beautiful Rashi here of Esa ani imach. He's the poor person with you. What does that mean, with you? Why does the Torah need to add that word imach, right? It says that he's the poor person imach, right over here, with you, says Rashi, underlined over there, heve mistakel ba'atzmecha ki'ilu ata ha'ani. You should look at yourself as if you are the poor person. Wow. Meaning when you give a loan to someone, you shouldn't view yourself as, well, I'm really rich and that person needs my help. No, rather you should view it as your problem, meaning equating yourself with the person in need. Imo anochi bitzara. And it reminds me of a story, really a couple of stories, but there's one story that stands out in particular. She was known as the Chicken Lady in Yerushalayim. If you look on aish.com, you'll find a video of this. She was recognized by Yeshiva University. She received a doctorate in, we'll say, a more Hamish version of a doctorate, because she grew up where? In communist Russia. And she unfortunately experienced a lot of hunger in her youth. And she never forgot the feeling of hunger that she had experienced as a child. And she basically took it upon herself to make sure that people would not go hungry. And she went to a butcher in Yerushalayim and said, how much leftover meat do you have at the end of a week, whatever? And she basically paid the butcher every week to put aside like the leftover fat or skins. And she started this organization, Chickens for Shabbos, something along those lines. And this woman, Clara, I forgot her last name. And essentially, she didn't feel like she was wealthy giving to the poor. The reason why she started a whole organization that became Baruch Hashem very successful to feed many chickens and many Shabbos meals to many, many Anim in Yerushalayim is because she genuinely felt their hunger. And there are other similar stories about people who have never really forgotten those feelings of hunger, and they never kind of got over it, and they've made it their life's mission to ensure that other people don't experience that pain. And many chesed organizations start out of a personal trauma, and people then, you know, try to prevent other people from experiencing those things. But again, it's a beautiful Rashi that when you lend the money, you shouldn't view yourself as higher up, as more, you know, wealthy. You're with that person. It's a beautiful Rashi, just as a little bit of, you know, Musar Makshava, so to speak, while we learn the Rashi. All right, Robert, good evening. Good to see you.
Hi, good to see you too.
All right, so now we have three mitzvahs we're comparing this evening. And we just learned, Robert, in the Torah, in this week's Parsha of Mishpatim, the Torah says you should lend money to people. So in the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs, we're going to see that there are multiple mitzvahs out of the 613. Here is one this evening. So as we said, he shetzivana lahalvos la'ani. You have an obligation. It's a mitzvah. One of the 613 mitzvahs is to lend money to the poor. Why? L'hakel lo me'anav l'harchiv lo. To make it easier for this individual, he needs your help, and you lend him money. Now, says the Rambam, very famously, yet so crucial to remember, that this is a more important mitzvah than tzedakah. Wow. Meaning, number one, it's important to realize this is not the mitzvah of tzedakah. We'll learn about that mitzvah shortly. This is a different mitzvah. This is a mitzvah known as giving a loan. And why is this mitzvah more important than tzedakah? If you would have asked me logically, compare, contrast, you know, or, you know, try to prioritize the mitzvah of loaning someone money versus giving someone tzedakah, I would have been very surprised by the question. Like, what's the difference? Someone who needs money, so you give them money. And if anything, I would have said, well, if someone needs a loan, that maybe sounds like an entrepreneur, maybe less urgent. Someone who's an ani might be starving, and maybe that would have been more of a logical guess to say that that's more important. Yet the Rambam says no, it's actually a priority to give a loan. Why? Says the Rambam in a very sensitive way, ki mi shenizgalev and isbazel lishol biyada anashim. Someone who's already open and embarrassed to ask for handouts for tzedakah. Ein tzaras anav kamot tzaras hamistater. Sheyirtze lehe'azer ad shelo yisgala anav yisbazer. Meaning there are poor people who are known already to be poor. So it's less embarrassing when they ask you for money. But there are other people that if you don't help them now, if you don't give them a loan now, they're going to become poor. And it will lead to their embarrassment. And argues the Rambam, it's more important to prevent those people from becoming embarrassed Because the poor person's going to figure out a way. He's not embarrassed to ask anymore. He already knows. Everyone knows this guy is poor. And he collects money. You know, he's an address to give sucker to. But so-and-so who secretly is going bankrupt and can use a loan to stay on his feet, that guy really needs your help, because if you don't help him now, he's going to turn into an ani, and that would be very, very devastating. Wow. Wow. And that's seemingly, you know, the goal of Project Ezra, you know, in our community by Fair Loan's own Rachel Critch, meaning they don't help aniim, right? It's not like a stuck organization, right? It's not like Tomchei Shabbos, right? I would argue that they fit more into this category. No, am I off, Adam? What do you think about that, right? Like, what do? They help people get jobs. So I would argue that it's more like preventing damage. And I don't know what they deal with exactly. But to me, Project Ezra always, you know, reminds me of this Rambam, where it's helping people that are not, it's not the classical version of stuck. It's more like helping people get on their feet or stay on their feet, as opposed to the classical, you know, example of stuck. All right, if you don't want to, but Project Adam's looking at me like I'm wrong. No, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Adam, Dr. Karp agrees with me, Baruch Hashem. But you hear what I'm saying? You know, there are different ways to give money to people, and it's important to be sensitive to this concept. And again, you know, even on a business level, you know how much money do people make when they ask for a loan and they do invest it, and it leads them to their whole future success. And that's why, you know, parents often pay for their kids' tuition. They really view it as an investment, right? It's like a big, you know, if I pay for my child's tuition, so, you know, it'll get them off the runway. And again, so that's a little bit of the mitzvah of lending. And not only is there a mitzvah ase, there's a mitzvah los ase. It says the Rambam in the same pasuk, our pasuk in the Parsha. His year shelo levake shamalve minalove kishenede shelo yachol lifroa. So if I loan Adam $100, and let's say I know that he can't pay me back today, it's forbidden by Torah law for me to ask for the money. If I know you can't pay me back, I'm not allowed to ask you for it. I'm not allowed to push you for it. So that's a mitzvah lo sase. So we have two mitzvahs out of 613 in this pasuk already, all related to loaning money. And here's where we get lumdish. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. So this is in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Tzadi Zayin. This is Sif Aleph, if I'm not mistaken. So again, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch basically quotes the Rambam and the Rashi from Chazal that we're quoting earlier. So it's a mitzvah to loan money, and it's even more important than staka. Now here's the Chiddush. Va'afilu ashir, even if you're rich and you need a loan, mitzvah lahalvoso, lefi sha'a. Now it's a mitzvah to loan the person, even though he's wealthy. So someone who would not qualify for staka, and would not be a mitzvah of staka to give him money, can still qualify for this mitzvah, because it's mandelstam. If you give me $500, I'll invest it, and I guarantee you I'll pay you back in 5 days. Sounds like a good deal. Now, he's eating supper that night. He could even take out. He's not poor. But for some reason, he needs a loan, whatever it is, maybe a bigger loan. He's not poor, but he needs $10,000 or whatever. So he can't afford that. So, you know, helping that person is a completely different mitzvah than the mitzvah of staka. And here is where the Shulchan Aruch points out what also is included in this mitzvah. Ula anoso af bidvarim. To even give him words. Ula ya'atso etza ha'ogenes lo. And to give him proper advice. Now, seemingly, the Shulchan Aruch is referring to financial advice. Meaning, if someone needs your assistance as to how to use their money, and you tell them, well, if you invest in, I don't know, this stock or whatever, you have a different retirement plan, whatever, I don't, you know, whatever it is, if it's a traditional IRA, you know, versus the whatever, you know, you forget the terms, but when your people have the, you know, people will tell you, you know, all of the particular plans, and they actually advise you, and they look at your stats, and they give you advice. That's a mitzvah of loaning money. My wife and I, you know, we have a financial advisor. You know, I don't know, does everyone have a financial advisor? Like a normal thing? Like everyone has like a doctor, a dentist, and a financial advisor. It's like a normal thing. Yeah, no, am I totally off?
Yeah, my wife tells me not to spend money.
Very good. So Rabbi Weintraub has a financial advisor known as Mrs. Weintraub, the Rebbetzin. So I'll tell you, that's an interesting thing. I grew up with a chinuch. I have a master's degree, but all through the system, you know, through with graduate school, I never received a formal education about money. So again, granted, I know about money a little bit, you know, but my father teach, I've had mentors that are, I have a brother who's a lawyer, by nature, he's more invested in business. And I've received advice and counsel, but just to sit with like 10 minutes with like a financial advisor, I'm very friendly with this individual also, from Drew, TABC graduate, he knows so much more about money than I do. So, that I would argue is a mitzvah of Im Kesef Talveh, because what's he basically doing? He is not approaching me and helping me as an ani. He's helping me make decisions about my money. So I would genuinely say that that is a fulfillment of this mitzvah, because he's, as the Shulchan Aruch just said, one of the examples of this mitzvah is to even use your words to support someone and to give them proper financial advice, right? So that's what I received. So it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Okay, so not to underestimate your own value. And those of you who have children who are making financial errors and you feel like they'll actually listen to you, if you give them financial advice, so that would be helpful. That would be a mitzvah. So it's important to realize that even if people who we know don't need handouts or don't need money, well, they might need a little bit of help, not because they're poor, but would it help to receive a little bit of money? You can pay me back. Do you want to talk about your money? Would it help to talk about your finances? That is a separate mitzvah that should be on our radar. And, I feel like Baruch Hashem, in my own personal life, I'm zocheh to be on the giving end of the mitzvah of tzedakah and not the receiving end, but I'm on the receiving end, so to speak, on the mitzvah of loans, right? I receive advice regarding financial, planning, right? I don't know about, I need, guidance. I don't know so much about, finances and retirement plans and pension. It's not my language, but I receive advice, So it's important to realize the difference there between the two mitzvahs, okay? So let's now look, though, at the classical mitzvah of tzedakah as we all have grown up and known it. So says the Shulchan Aruch over here that we know this one. I'm sorry, the Sefer Dvarim, Parshas Re'eh, says, if there's someone poor in your, in your life, you gotta help your brother out. Don't be stingy. Rather, Pasuk Ches in Parshas Re'eh, Dvarim Tezvav, says, keep patoach tiftach es yadcha lo. You gotta open up your hand and give him money. So this is a third mitzvah out of the 613 that we're learning this evening, and that is the classical mitzvah of tzedakah. He shetzivano la'asot tzedakah ulechazeka chalashim ulecharchiv aleihem. Now this is people who need help. Well, like without you, they would be in trouble. They're weak, says the Rambam. And this is a very, very important idea, says the Rambam, to summarize the mitzvah. V'akavana be'elu ha'lashon is kulam achat hu she'na'azor otam v'nechazkeim dai sipukam. They have a void that needs to be filled. There is a gap, a financial lacking, and you give them the support that they need. So this is different than the first guy, right? The guy who needs a loan doesn't need you, but he would benefit from your assistance. This guy genuinely needs you. If you don't help him, like, he might not have supper. He might not have a Shabbos meal. I don't, fill in the blanks. He might not be able to pay tuition. He needs genuine financial assistance. And that is a Rambam in mitzvah, as I say, Kuf Tzadi Hei, which is not the Rambam that we learned earlier, which is what, Kuf Nun Zayin, if I'm not mistaken. It's a different number. It's a different mitzvah, Kuf Tzadi Zayin. So Kuf Tzadi Zayin versus Kuf Tzadi Hei, two mitzvahs later. Okay. So now I'm going to ask you a question. What about Matanos Le'evyonim? Would that fit in to one of the two mitzvos? Is it a loan? Is it, is it giving to the poor more like tzedakah, or is it like a third one? Does it resonate? Does it seem to remind us of one of the two mitzvos already mentioned this evening, or is it totally separate? What would we say? Okay, Adam says it's a machlokas rishonim. Now, either that means Adam is intelligent and has learned the sugi before, or he's dodging the question by saying a logical answer that sounds.
You could see it both ways.
Some people consider it to be stalker.
Very good.
So it's just an extension of supplement. So I'll just say no, it's a complete supplement.
Very good. Adam has learned this already. It says no. Well, there are those who argue that it's stalker, and there's arguments different. Very good. We'll learn that shortly. Yeah, Rabbi Weinstein, what did you want to argue?
You could say it one of both ways. Either, like Adam said, either it's tzedakah or the word matanos, it's like an extra, not a tzedakah, but it's an extra matana.
Very good. So right away, Rabbi Weinstein points out, as he's a Baal Koreh, the word matana, and so is Adam, so the word matana suggests that it's not tzedakah, right? We wouldn't call tzedakah a matana, right? A gift connotes that you don't need it, it's a bonus. That's a very sharp point.
Rambam calls the Hilchos Matnosaniyim.
So Adam says, no, that's not true, because the Hilchos Staka and the Rambam are called Hilchos Matnosaniyim, meaning because the way it should be given is as a matana, meaning your perspective is different than the reality, you know, meaning it could be either it's a euphemism or there are ways to give Staka that are more appropriate and make it as if it's a matana. Very good. So Adam seemingly deflects Rabbi Weintraub. So Dr. Kopfer says Rabbi Weintraub over here that maybe the word matana is not so indicative. It's a fantastic point by Abi, but a very nice response by Adam. Baruch Hashem, the Torah is alive and well in Shomrei Torah. But it is dictuk to point out in Sefer Esther, Megillas Esther. By the way, if anyone doesn't know, there is a WhatsApp group with myself and Rabbi Markowitz. Rabbi Markowitz gives halacha Sunday through Tuesday, and I give on the Megillah, Wednesday through Friday. You know, it's in one of your emails that you may or may not have seen. And if you want more information about that, it's like a 2 to 3 minute short vort on WhatsApp. So it's a nice thing. If you want more information about that, you could ask me privately. Okay, so let's look at the mitzvah as it's phrased in the Megillah. So we know that Mordechai writes down at the end of the Megillah the laws of Purim. And it's, you know, one of the laws of Purim, it says, it's yimei mishteh, v'simcha, u'mishloach, manos, ish ve'u matanos le'evyonim. So how does Unkelus, not Unkelus, I don't know who the Targum here is, but the classical Aramaic translation of matanos le'evyonim is u'maha, which means money, ditztaka, ditzitkasa. So that would certainly suggest that matanos le'evyonim is just staka, meaning you have an obligation to give staka, so you can argue that that is maser, you know, like a 1/10 of your income or 1/10 of the money that you bring in, you know, after taxes. And you should give, you know, let's say a respectable percentage, you know, classically we call it a 10th, but, you know, there obviously are more details of the mitzvah. So there's another mitzvah or seemingly to give staka on Purim, meaning, but it's still part of the mitzvah known as staka. And that is how Rav Chaim Brisker Zatzal understood. So the Rav in Harei Kedem brings down his grandfather, Rav Chaim, the famous Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who argues that Matanos Avionim is just a unique mitzvah of tzedakah on Purim. Meaning it reminds me of Rabbeinu Yonah's mitzvah of tshuva, meaning there's a mitzvah called tshuva, and there's also a special time to do the tshuva, that's on Yom Kippur. But it's still the same mitzvah of tshuva. You can do the mitzvah of tshuva today, tomorrow, but there's a unique opportunity, there's a special time, and you also have to do it on Yom Kippur, but it's still the same mitzvah known as tshuva that you have all the other days of the year. So too, argues Reb Chaim. So tzedakah is a mitzvah. It happens all year round, and there's a unique time to also give tzedakah on Purim, but it's still the same mitzvah known as tzedakah. But in contrast, the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, disagrees with his grandfather. And the Rav argues that no, Matanos Levyonim is not staka. It's its own category. And we're going to bring three halachas now, at least to prove that there's a unique flavor of the staka known as Matanos Levyonim, which would suggest that it's not the classical mitzvah of staka. Now, how does the Rambam phrase the mitzvah? That you should really mutav, it's better for a person to give a lot of Matanos Levyonim. If you have to, if let's say you have $500 to spend on Purim, so how much money should you spend on your costume? How much money should you spend on Mishloach Manos, etc.? And you want to divvy up your funds for Purim. So it argues the Rambam, it's better to spend the most money on what? On Matanos Avyonim. Why? Why? How would you finish that sentence? Why is it the most important to spend on Matanos Avyonim? So if Reb Chaim was correct, right, what should the Rambam say? Because staka is so important. Meaning it's better to spend a lot of money on Matanos Avyonim as opposed to your meat at your meal and mishloach manos, because tzedakah helps poor people. But that's not what the Rambam says. He doesn't say that. It's more important to help poor people than it is to eat. That's not what he says. He writes, she'ein shem simcha gedol umfura ela l'samech leiv aniyim v'yisomim v'almanos v'geim. He says, you know why it's more important to give matanos v'yonim? Because it's extra simcha. Purim is a day of simcha. And there's no better expression of happiness than to make other people happy. If you make someone who's poor happy, specifically, I guess, a widow or an orphan, that's the ultimate expression of simcha. So says Rav Soloveitchik, that's beautiful, but you know, if the mitzvah of matanos v'yonim was tzedakah, that Rama makes no sense. Meaning, that's not a logical sentence. It's better to give matanos v'yonim because there's extra simcha. What meaning extra simcha? Who cares? Who cares? Who said that simcha is the barometer? Meaning, you know, put on your tefillin because there's more simcha when you put on tefillin as much as tzitzis. What are you talking about? Meaning, who cares about that, how much simcha there is? So argues the Rav, no. All of the mitzvahs of Purim are actually in the same category of one mitzvah. It's all one mitzvah, argues Rav Soloveitchik. He says, according to the Rambam, all of these mitzvahs, the Suda, Mishloach, Manos, Matanos, Avionim, it's all one mitzvah. V'kulam nichlalim tachas Hashem v'simchas Purim. So argues the Rav, a beautiful idea, that when it comes to the mitzvahs of the day of Purim, there's one mitzvah. Be happy on Purim. It should be a festive day. And that mitzvah is expressed, it is translated into four different mitzvahs, right? The Suda is an expression of simcha. Mishloach Manos is an expression of simcha, etc. And what's the ultimate expression of simcha? Matanos Levionim. Why? Because the best simcha is not your own personal happiness, but when you bring happiness to others. But essentially, they're all subcategories of one broader mitzvah. A singular central mitzvah of the day is to be happy on Purim. And what's the ideal happiness is not to be happy, but to create happiness. It's a very powerful idea, but that's how the Rav disagrees with his grandfather. The mitzvah of Matanos Avionim is not regular tzedakah. It's its own unique category of happiness of Purim, Simchas Purim. It's included, but it's not regular tzedakah. And all right, so let's go with this theme of the Rav. If it's not regular tzedakah, here's a question. If I am an ani, if I myself am poor, I do not need to give tzedakah. I'm exempt from the mitzvah of tzedakah. But does a poor person himself need to give matanos levyonim? That's a million-dollar question. Meaning, if it's a mitzvah of tzedakah, he does not. But if matanos levyonim is all about the camaraderie and the simcha of Purim, even an ani, even someone who's poor, needs to give matanos levyonim. And that, in fact, is a machlokas in the poskim that says the Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash quotes an opinion. He says, there are those people who hold that even a poor person needs to give matanos levyonim. And says the Pri Chadash, v'ein lazeh tam. That's ridiculous. That's so illogical. Of course not. If you're poor, you don't have to give matanos levyonim. But it's the Bach who says, no. Afilu ani hamekabel tzedakah. Even a poor person who receives tzedakah, chayav latet mimash enasnu lo l'shar evyonim. So if I give a $20 bill on Purim and matanos evyonim, argues the Bach and the Mishnah Brura, the Magen Avraham, many others, that poor person also has to give a little bit of his money to an ani on Purim. Now, the question is, how does that make any sense? He's poor. Why should he give matanos evyonim? No, but a poor person can still enjoy Purim and get involved with the festivities of the day and make another poor person happy. So maybe even a poor person has to give matanos levyonim because matanos levyonim is not the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's not the mitzvah of tzedakah. Again, there are two more examples that highlight this subtle chiluk between matanos levyonim and the classical mitzvah of tzedakah. And that is another one that usually, if someone asks you for tzedakah, you're allowed to be a little hesitant. You gave a shiur about this maybe in the summertime. Said like cautious giving, something like that. It's not why you told her that like you don't have to give everyone a big check when they come to your door. You're allowed to like ask for a te'udah and be, you know, a tad suspicious. So, but on Purim it's not like that. On Purim, ein medachtikim b'maus Purim. Ela kol mi sheposhet yado Litol, no simlo. Anyone who asks for matanos avionim on Purim, you give. And I remember Rav Soloveitchik, he writes in the Sefer, before him you shall be purified. You remember his growing up as a boy in Brisk, that there were 2 days of the year where people had an open wallet. That Erev Yom Kippur and Purim, everyone's wallets were open. You didn't ask questions. People needed money, you gave it. But the question is, wait a minute, why are we being so generous on Purim? So someone knocks on your door tomorrow and says, stuck, and you say, whoa, 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 who are you? What are you collecting for? Do you have a two-die? And if they don't, you're not so excited to give them. In contrast, on Purim, they knock on your door, oh, Shalom Aleichem, Freilich Purim, you give them some money, and you're not as cautious. And the Ritva explains in Baba Mitzia, Ayin Chesem Abeis, because Matanos Avionim is not stucca. It's midin simcha. You're trying to spread camaraderie. You're trying to get pumped with achdus, with brotherhood, with love. And it's not about stucca. Unbelievable. So I want to just kind of conclude with this chilling line of Mishnah Berura that is so, you know, pertinent to the year 2021 about the seuda and about camaraderie. The Mishnah Berura has this line from the Eliyahu Rabbah in the name of the Shla that it's always best to invite people to your Purim seuda to have a festive meal with friends and family. Sheyikabeit anche beso b'chaverov. Why? De'efshar lismoach kiroi biyachid. Because it's impossible to be happy if you are alone. Whoa. Meaning it's not Purim if you're alone. And therefore, when you have the Purim Seuda, you should invite people. And it's like this year, we go to Purim, and we're limited in who we can invite. Oh, are you vaccinated? Are you vaccinated? Should we eat outside? I don't know. It's freezing. You know, is it worth it? Oh, it may be just my family. What about my grandkids? I don't know. Ultimately, there will probably be a lot of people eating a lot more, quote-unquote, alone this Purim than ever before. And I think the mitzvah matanos levionim and Mishloach Manos is a unique way of making people feel like they're not alone, even if you can't sit next to them and enjoy a meal with them. There are many different ways to make people feel like they're not alone. It could be a text message. It could be Matanos Avionim. It could be Mishloach Manos. And Baruch Hashem, you know, I think generally we're talking really more about Mishloach Manos at this point than Matanos Avionim. But if the main expression of the day is simcha with one another, and as the Rav argues that all the mitzvahs of the day are really just an expression of simchas Purim, but there's no greater goal of the day than to make people feel like you know them, you appreciate them, you value the role that they play in your life. And I think we need to go out of our way a little bit more this year than ever before to make our neighbors, friends, and family members feel like we feel connected to them. And I think that could be expressed in many different ways. It could be a FaceTime. It could be, you know, driving to another neighborhood just to hang out on the lawn for 10 minutes. Be a phone call, whatever it is. And, you know, obviously it could be a package. I remember I went to my cousins in Passaic were in quarantine over Sukkot. And I showed up with some Zadie's baked goods, you know, that's, you know, one of the most famous things that we have in Fairlawn. I drove to Passaic, you know, with one of the best things that Fairlawn has contributed to the broader Jewish community. And, you know, they felt like, wow, you know, someone remembered me. And how many people are waiting for that? You know, again, those are my first cousins. I, frankly, I would have been like a bad person if I didn't do that. It's like a 10-minute drive. And I needed to do something with my kids anyway. You know? They got to go to Zadie's. And then my wife got me to get the kids out of the house for like 2 hours so she could like clean up for Yontif. It wasn't such a chesed. But, you know, all of the, you know, the opportunities we could try to think of, like, how can I spread Simchas Purim to someone who could use a little Simchas Purim? That seemingly is the Avodas Hayom. As the Shulchan Aruch said, it's still a mitzvah to give someone a little bit of good advice, to support them, even if they don't need stucca. Everyone might use assistance in different forms. So Bezos Hashem, we should all be mechazik one another and enjoy Purim as a community, even if it's not the classical form of stucca, but, you know, everyone needs their own chizik and support.